to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go harder. Just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive. Just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's up, everybody? This is Kyle Hunter. I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, elevation, inspiration. And as always, this is high-level conversation where we just challenge people to be their best self. And today, we are super excited and super charged up because we got a phenomenal, dynamic, prolific guest on the show today. He is a legend. He is a talented musician. Truthfully, truth be told, he's one of the top MCs that I feel personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a dope MC with a lot of classics. And we're going to get into it today, man, with the one, the only Mike Geronimo. Mike, what's going on, King?
What's up with you, bro? How you feeling?
Man, everything's healthy, man. Everything's healthy. Yeah. We just happy to have you on the podcast, man. You know,
definitely. Nah, likewise. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate y'all having me. So
definitely.
That's what's up. That's
definitely
what's up.
Definitely, man. So we're going to get into it, man. Like, this podcast is basically just about motivating people and all the guests that we have on the show. They're successful within their own right. Just pretty much people that are on the cutting edge. And I mean, obviously, you know, for the listeners, they're quite familiar with who you are. But for those that might not be, if they've been living under a rock for a long time, you know, could you just kind of just talk about, you know, your beginnings and things like that? Like, just start from the beginning, how you got started in music and things like that.
I guess the condensed version is I grew up with Lars Professor. Shout out to Lars Professor. He's pretty much like a big brother to me. So I was already around people that were producing music. And, you know, at that time, you know, people like Nas and Gangstar and Leaders of the New School, P-Rock, Akineli, just to name a few, they would always be around him. So I got exposed to it at an early age. I started DJing at about 16. From there, I kind of switched things up. And by chance, I just started rapping. The word got around that that's what I did. A mutual friend knew Irv Gotti and invited him to a talent show that I was in. And he heard me rhyme and he was just like, yo, I got a studio, you know, I'd love. Why don't you come and, you know, I want to see if, you know, we can make some music. And so I did. That was maybe a week or two after I met him. And the first time we went in, we started working on Shit's Real. And then from there, we did Shit's Real. It kind of took off. Gotti pressed it up and Hype Williams shot the video too. And then from there, that enabled us to land the deal with TBT, my recording, and that was it. And so my first album, we did with The Natural. I had a lot of features on it, in particular, DMX, Jay-Z, and Ja Rule were featured on it, along with OC and a couple other people. And did pretty good. And, you know, a lot of tours. And then from there, I did my second album, Vendetta. I worked heavily with Bad Boy, The Hitman, Puff, again, with the legendary tracks too, but with a lot of Twista, P-Rock, Mobb Deep as well, and again, it had a lot of features, so I had Lox, I had DMX, I had Ja Rule, Jay-Z was on two songs, Carl Thomas, and that one did well as well. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of me starting my third album, that's when I kind of parted ways with TBT. Mm-hmm. And I went independent and rest is history.
Definitely, 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 man. And you know, to your point, I mean, just to look at those records, man, like, you know, you're talking about The Natural, Vendetta. like those records were really like ahead of their times, I feel, because ultimately, I mean, like you said, to look at the features that you had on there, you had Jay-Z, you know, you had the Lox. I mean, you had some phenomenal musicians on these records, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah. Just to kind of see that and just to see the transition and how things just elevated. It was crazy. It was crazy, man.
I appreciate it. It was.
That's a fact, man. And I could tell you something. Yeah, you know, I could tell you something, man, because, you know, I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens, and I know just for a fact, you know, like when that record hit, man, everybody was blasting that joint in Baisley, all over. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out the whole South Side, we outside, you know what we say. So shout out the whole 118 squad, you know, shout out Dave Thing, shout out to them, shout out Rome. Shout out all my Baisley folks. Shout out my Rochdale people. Southside 40, you already know.
Facts.
Bricktown.
Facts. That's a fact, man. That's a fact. And you know, I just wanted to kind of just piggyback off of what you said, because you said that you did. You left TBT and you went the independent route. For the listeners out there, could you kind of just break that down a little bit? Like, what do you feel are the benefits of being independent as opposed to being attached to a major label?
Well, when you're independent, the benefit automatically is that you're not in a position where you have to split revenue with anyone, because they may have done your marketing, your promotion, anything that involves the process of releasing an album. So you reap the lion's share of anything you put out. The downside or the trade-off is you become a one-man gang. You become your label. You become that staff of people that were designated for certain things and to do certain things and to put certain things in place. So the trade-off is you make more profit. The flip side of that is you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. Mm-hmm. And you come to find that because you're doing five jobs as opposed to one, it's a lot of work. But if you dedicate it, if you believe in it, and if you don't see anything but it succeeding, you'll be okay.
Definitely. You know, like they say, you know, ownership is key. So the fact that you was able to transition. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got your masters, you got your publishing.
And that's it. Right. I was just going to say, that's another big part that you brought up. You also own your masters from that point forward. So if you sign with a label, the label pretty much owns any song that you did. They own the masters, which is the actual master file of each of those songs. When you're independent, no one owns that material other than you. And the way you truly eat in the music industry is through your publishing, through your catalog, through being able to continuously license music and place it. And, you know, as time goes on, your music, your catalog still belonging to you. If it's a successful catalog, that's going to keep you eating, you know, forever and a day.
Definitely. And for the listeners out there that might not really understand, when we talk about publishing, we talking about masters, that's residual income that you have. Absolutely. So for musicians, that's equivalent to like a retirement plan, right? It's
pretty
like,
much,
you know, when you're not touring no more, you own that, and that's feeding.
Right.
You
absolutely.
Know?
And or it could be a situation like people find themselves in now where, you know, anything can happen where artists normally get a lot of revenue, they generate personal revenue doing performance. But if you're in a scenario where you're unable to perform and you're unable to get that show money, then the only thing that you truly can rely on would be your catalog, your publishing, your license.
Definitely. Yo, these is gems, bro. You giving them gems out here. You know what I'm saying? Free game.
Yeah,
free game.
You got to know what it is you're getting into before you get into it. It always helps.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. You know, you got so many dope records. A question that we had one of the listeners submit, that's a fan of yours, they wanted to know, what is your favorite song that you've done? Out of all the music that you've done, what's one that's like dear to your heart that, you know, you really feel like you love that record?
Oh man, I love Master Ashi. I'll always love Master Ashi, and I think it's just because to me it's probably the most original sounding record I've ever done, in the sense of we don't even know how we came up. It just came into being on its own.
You know, and when, like, you say that, was it like y'all were just in the studio, just on the spot? Like, what was that creative process like? Just,
well, no, Buck Wild gave me the beat. Shout out to Buck Wild, but it did not at all sound like what you hear on the album. Mm-hmm. And every time we went back in, because I was very critical of the lyric, and anytime that we went back in, he would add more to it or hear something else or put something else to it. So the final version of Master Ashi is something like 8 to 10 records that are all samples and put together.
Gotcha.
And each of if you didn't have just one of those records, it would not sound like it does.
Wow.
So it's just crazy in that sense. And it was just crazy because, like, even with the hook, it was all spontaneous. Like, I was just like, damn, I'm so high. Flush, like, I'm so high. And then my man Union was like, wait, I'm so high, you so high.
Mm.
And then he just was like, yeah, but I'll be getting money till the day that I die. And he just started laughing, and we all laughed. And then we was like, wait, that's the hook. I'm so high, you so high, I'll be getting money till the day that I die.
Fact.
And it just all came about in that way. And so I think that's the closest connection I felt spiritually, I would say, to making music.
Like, that's fire.
You can't explain how you come up with what you came up with or how it turned out the way it did. It just was the right place, the right time, the right beat, the right vibe.
Fire. That's fire, man. That's dope, man. Normally, that's how the most fire music comes out. It's just natural. Yeah, it's on the spot. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not forced. All of those gimmicks, you know what I mean?
It wasn't that, and that's why it was so cool.
Definitely.
And there's others, but that's just like the first one that comes to mind.
That's fire, man. That's fire. You know, one thing we wanted to ask you too, Mike, because on this podcast, we always ask successful people, what is their mantra? Meaning that no matter what you go through in life, no matter what obstacles that might be in front of you, it's something that you always tell yourself to get you through. Like, me personally, mine's is persistence wears down resistance. Like, that's always been a mantra of mine. So no matter what you're going through, the fact that you can still actually keep going and be persistent, you're going to be successful. So what's a mantra or like a gem that you would give for the people?
I don't know if it's a mantra, but it's definitely the one thing I think of that I learned that I never forget. I read a book and the person said to imagine you're in a funeral home. And when you walk into the funeral home, you see people sitting there and you don't really know. And you walk a little further and faces get a little, they're vaguely familiar. And you walk a little further and now you're starting to see faces. You know, you walk further, you see your friend. You walk further, you see your relatives. Get to the coffin, you look inside, and you're inside of it. What do you want all those people to say about you?
Mm.
When you figure out what you want those people to say about you, you'll start living your life that way.
Mm.
And once I read that, that stuck with me, and it never left me. And so now, whenever I'm in doubt, or whenever things are a lot to deal with, I have to say to myself, what do you want them to say in that? So I guess that's my mantra. What do you want them to say in
that? Mm, that's powerful, man. That's powerful.
Appreciate
Mike.
It.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. Well, you know, I just had two more questions for you, man. The second question is, man, top five dead alive. Who are your favorite five MCs, man?
Oh, man. Oh. Rakim 1 is one of them. It's not necessarily the order, but I definitely have to say Rakim. Lil Wayne is another one. Hov is another one. Pop. Nas and Big are definitely good, but I think that's over five.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Look, we adding up.
I'm like, damn, but then you can't forget Jada and Styles.
That's a fact.
So it's kind of like, it's a toss up between that last spot. But all the people I just named, I heavily listen to all those individuals. And Snoop, yeah. I listen to Snoop a lot too.
Yeah. Well, all the dudes,
you know, it's hard to pick it just fine.
That's a fact.
Just fine. I just like flame spitters, bro. I just like people that make you want to rhyme.
That's what I was about to say. Like, all the dudes you name is lyricists. Like, they bar smiths. You know what I'm saying? Like, they drop them. Yeah. Bar. You like, you know, you got to think like, oh, that's fire. You know what I mean? Like, how they put piece that together. So, yeah, that's
right.
Fire. It's fire, man.
I like people that inspire me to go hard, or people that, you know, they fire me up and they make me appreciate the fact that we do get to do this and everybody does it. And since we do, you should do it to the best of your ability.
Definitely.
Those are the people that I get inspiration from.
Definitely. That's a fact, man. And, you know, I wanted to talk about, too, how you're such an inspiration because you was able to transcend. I mean, in addition to music, you're a business owner. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on, man. You know what I'm saying? So can you just talk about that, like your ability? Yeah, most definitely, man. Like, can you talk about that, like your ability to be able to, like, transcend and be a business owner in addition to music? Because, I mean, that's an accomplishment within itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it actually kind of happened on its own. I kind of stumbled into the industry that I got into, which is security installation. So we do everything that's as minimal as locksmith work. We do things that are as big as full access entry commercial systems, which is, you know, you may have an office space that has maybe 50 to 100 employees on the 35th floor building, and we may have to wire that entire building for cameras or, you know, key fobs or biometric scan, whatever the case may be. But I just inadvertently fell into it. And then when I did fall into it, I was presented with the opportunity of, you know, this is something that you can open your own business. And I had always in my life wanted to be able to say that I own my own business. So when the opportunity came, I did the apprenticeship, which was, I was like 2 years without being paid, and it didn't matter to me because I just wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent a lot of time in the field, like in the real world, getting real world experience with customers and with scenarios and with the everyday. And I just plugged away and stayed dedicated to it. There were times where I was like, this is the best thing I've ever done. There's been days where I'm like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever come up with. But all in all, I just stayed with it. You know, even when it got hard, even when I didn't think it worked. And eventually, little by little, I started to notice that all these little things that I were doing were starting to add up. And all these people that I was going to do jobs for, it was kind of starting to all add up in the sense that they were recommending us to other people. And slowly it started to grow. And slowly the volume of the jobs that we were getting requested to do would grow. And then it would get to the point where I had to learn more in order to be able to compete in the industry that we were in. So, again, it's no different from the music stuff. I just saw the opportunity, and I saw that if I stayed dedicated to it, it'll probably open up more opportunities. I didn't know what those would be, but I just had this feeling that if I just stick with this, it'll be okay eventually. And thank God, you know, we got through that first 5 to 3 year period that determines whether your business is going to sink or swim. And then once I was in the clear with that, it built my confidence. And I kind of was like, okay, you know, things are going to happen. But just at the end of the day, all the things you learn from music in terms of the business of music, you can use those same things and apply them to the business you run. And one of the things I noticed with my business, my industry, is people weren't people. Meaning, you know, in music, you're kind of like a politician. You shake hands, you kiss babies, you go to events, you network, you keep ties up, you keep relationships up. You do all these things that, you know, where you're circulating and selling yourself. And so when it came time for me to open my business, inadvertently, I knew a lot of those things just because I had spent so much time as a rapper and in the industry. And I was used to, you know, when albums drop, you have to do promo runs and you do promo tours and you do spot dates and you do touring. But all of this involves you networking and talking with people. And I knew that if I could somehow take that and apply it to this, or rather to, you know, that business that I do, that I was getting into, I knew that I would have an edge on people that were already established, because I noticed for the most part that they were pretty rude to their clients and they would pretty much overcharge people and they wouldn't really give people a lot of information. So I used all those things that I learned in music and I just applied it to my company. And it turned out to be a very big plus for us, where we, for 8 years consecutive, won the customer service award, and we're now considered to be in the top 10 of installation companies in New York City, which is, I guess now if I look at it, I can kind of pat myself on the back in that sense. But, you know, that's pretty much fire.
Nah, that's fire, man. That's fire. Yeah. And you know, when you talk about your beginnings, how you did the apprenticeship, a lot of people don't get that. It's like, you know, sometimes you got to take a loss to get a win. You feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell my kids all the time, I say, we don't ever lose. I say, either we'll learn, you know, or we win. But no matter what you do, you don't ever lose. Like, learning in itself is winning. You know, and I didn't always see it that way, but once I started to look at it like, you know, what you learn today is going to help you win tomorrow. And then it just became, okay, well, maybe there's something to this notion known as patience. And once I started to look at things through that set of spectacles, everything changed. And
that's,
it got better
gradually. Big,
you know, so you have to give it, you have to give it time, and you have to stay dedicated, and you have to do everything in your power from the minute that you wake up to the minute that you go to bed to keep everything running, and not just keep it running, but to give it the opportunity to expand.
That's a fact, man. And I like what you said, because pretty much in a nutshell, what you said, like, there's no such thing as failure. That's only experience.
No. To me, I look at failure like fear, and I think they're both illusions that people put on themselves. And if you just figuratively jump in the water and start swimming, then usually you find out that there was nothing to be afraid of. And usually you find out that whatever it was you thought you couldn't, you can.
You can. That's a fact. That's a fact, Mike. Well, you know, those are all gems, man. In closing, man, can you just talk to the people about what you got going on? Like, what's next on the horizon? Any fire music? More classics?
Oh, yeah, I'm actually, the reason I don't have a lot of time now is because I'm actually in the middle of a photo shoot. But the entire project is going to be called 3016. And right now, we're getting ready. We're gearing up to let out the first two singles. One is produced by Self and my man Welt. The second one's produced by my man Dreamlight. But there's a lot of people on board. I got to shout out Rick Rock. I got to shout out Pete Rock. I got to shout out Buck Wild. Mr. Lee, Rhythm of Death Row. I got to shout them guys out. MOP, I got to shout out. There's a lot of people on board, and there's a lot going on. But the good part is we're getting ready to start letting the music go in May. So I should be pretty active from this point forward.
Dope, Mike. So well, you know, Yeah, we definitely gonna have to get you on for part two, man, to promote the project.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I promise, as soon as everything is a go, I'll be more than happy.
Definitely, man. Well, you know, we appreciate you, Mike, and definitely, man, we appreciate your time. We'll schedule you back in, man, for that part two. And
definitely. You know, I would love to.
No doubt, King. So, yo, do your thing, and we'll catch up, man. All right.
Yeah, thanks so much again, son, for having me. Again, everybody, be on the lookout, 3016. You can go to MikeGeronimoMusic.com. You can find me on Instagram, Mike Geronimo. Twitter, I think it's Real Mike Geronimo. TikTok, I think it's Real Mike Geronimo. Facebook is just Mike Geronimo. But I can be found in all of these cyber places. You know, so it's coming, y'all, and I'm just very appreciative, very grateful, very excited, and that's it.
No doubt. Well, once again, this was Kyle Hunter with the Diagnosis Success Podcast. Big shout out to Mike Geronimo, man, as always. And we're going to have him back on, man. We know y'all was excited. This was a heavily requested interview.
Wait, Kyle, because I'm so sorry. Shout out to my sister, Allie.
Yes.
She's like PR extraordinaire. Image, yes. PR, shout out to them. Shout out to YMBS, my management, Shampoo. I see you, salute. And shout out to my squad, Q&B. You know what I mean? So we here. We getting ready to put it in. Southside, we outside. You already know, Wastelands for life.
That's a fact. Southside, Queens. They know there's something, Merrick, Fox. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, all of that.
Don't worry, okay. We're going to give them a reason to have a couple of park cookouts this summer. You know what I mean, bro? So I'll keep you posted, man.
That's a fact.
Keep you posted. I'm getting ready to bring the whole hood outside.
That's a fact, bro. That's a fact, Mike. That's a fact. Say less, man. So, yo, look, we definitely, man, we're locking for part two. And, yo, much success on the photo shoot. I know you're doing your thing, so.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it, man. And have a good one. Likewise, I appreciate it. Success to you as well, bro. And I'm going to keep you posted. We'll be back soon, bro.
No doubt, bro. All right, man.
All right.
No doubt. All right.
One hundred.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I just to kill any jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing, not giving.